Archie Hardy program as we declare to you, souls are crying and men are dying. We must do all we can to win the lost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and the message we bring you today is Public Sinner Number 1, which I ministered recently at Faith Tabernacle. This message is for every sinner who believes that God could not or would not save you, and for every Christian who has battled with condemnation and guilt over your sinful past. I'll tell you at the close of the program how you can order this valuable message, Public Sinner Number 1.
Turn over to the 9th chapter. Verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings. I mean, I can just see him. Have you ever seen somebody so angry that their nostrils are flared? And their lips look like they're swollen and you can just see the breath come out of their body. I mean, they are so angry. That's him. He's breathing out threatenings. He wasn't just talking. He was blaspheming and talking and raging. Till he almost couldn't get his breath. And slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went unto the high priest and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. Damascus wasn't even part of Israel. It was Syria. He wasn't satisfied with rounding them up all around Jerusalem and Galilee. Now he wants to go to Damascus and get the Christians there. That if they found any of this way. You see, this way is how they referred to him in the beginning. They didn't call them Christians right away. They called to them as those people in this way. And you see, I kind of like that because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, there's only one way. There's not many ways. People today say there's many ways to God. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. There's only one way. Amen. He said that he went to get the people that were in this way, whether they were men or women. And this is important because this was in the days when women were not given much identity or credit for anything. They weren't allowed to sit in the synagogues with the men in the same place. And many of them weren't even educated. They didn't know the scriptures often like the men would because they weren't given that privilege. But yet, when it come time to kill Christians, he had no mercy on the women. Didn't care if they were men or women. He went to bring them, to bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. Don't turn there, but he said, writing to the Galatians in Galatians 1:13, he said, you've heard of my past conversation. And the word conversation means my whole lifestyle, not just your speech. You've heard of my past life. How beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You know, I thought wasted was a fairly new word that they just come up with, you know, lately. They talk about wasting people. How many know what it means if somebody says they waste you? It usually means they shot you, right? I thought it was a new word. Then I realized it's an old word. I know Paul didn't have any guns, but he went around wasting, putting to death any means possible. Generally, for them, it was picking up stones. And we don't mean little pebbles. We mean picking up stones that are so heavy that one or two would probably kill you. Amen. Went around wasting the church of God. I tell you what. If God could save Saul, that's all I'm going to say. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it in unbelief. Now, let's look at his conversion. You know that person that seems like they will never, ever get saved? You don't see how. You've preached to them. You've done everything, and you don't see how they're ever going to get saved. You just keep on the prayer because God can come into somebody's life and turn it upside down just like that. When the Holy Ghost gets on your trail, when the Holy Ghost gets on your tail, when he starts tailing you, you won't get very far. Acts 9, let's see the conversion. Let's look at read on in verse 3. And he journeyed and he came near to Damascus. Now here we already read he's on his way with letters from the high priest to find all Christians in the city of Damascus, bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem to be put to death. He's on his way, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Now, I want you to understand the word Lord here does not refer to Jesus as Lord like we refer to him. In fact, the word in the Greek, it's really a term of respect. It's the same word that is often sir and Caesar, because it just means sir. Who are you, sir? Okay, so that I don't want you to get confused, because obviously he didn't know it was the Lord Jesus, or he wouldn't ask him. Who are you, sir? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, and it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets on the trail of somebody, it's hard for them to keep kicking back. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's all he gave him, one direction. Get up, go into the city. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Paul got up from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, I like to read it this way, and when he opened his eyes, it makes better sense. And when he opened his eyes, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So he opened his eyes and saw no man because he couldn't see. Because that light had shined, had blinded him. And he had to, here he was going in there in his rage to go get Christians and bind them and drag them out. But Jesus said, when you persecuted them, you didn't know you were picking on somebody too big for you. When you persecute, God takes personally. Jesus takes personally the persecution of his saints. He said, you weren't just persecuting them, you were persecuting me. Don't you worry about it when they persecute you. Don't you react and revile them. Amen. But you pray for them that persecute you and use you despitefully, because God's eye is on them. And he says, you're messing around with my children. And you know how you are as a parent when somebody messes around with one of your kids. That kid could be a brat and need somebody to grab them and shake them up a little bit. But you don't take kindly to it if someone does it without your permission. And so he was blind. And he had to receive his sight. Amen? Okay, let's drop down. Now, I'm not going to read it all for sake of time. What happens? There he's in a house for 3 days, blind, and he didn't eat or drink. I'll tell you what, when your soul really, really gets in the crucible, when you are really in the crucible and the Holy Ghost is on you, your appetites will leave. Amen? Your soul is being weighed in the balance. He needed more instruction. What shall I do? He didn't know what was coming. I can only imagine what was going through his head for 3 days after knowing all that he had done to God's people, and he knew that God was not happy about it. And so he waited. Now, while he was waiting 3 days, the Holy Ghost gave a vision to one of the Christians in the city, probably one of the ones he would have gotten and drug away, because this man's name was Ananias, not to be confused with the one that already died in chapter 5. This was another one, and he was prophet. And the vision came to him and said, there is a man named Saul that's in such a house, in such a place in the city, and he is waiting there, and I want you to go and pray for him that he can have his eyes open and receive his sight. And when Ananias heard who it was, he said, excuse me, Lord, but are you talking about the Saul I think you're talking about? This is the one going around wasting your people, and you want me to go pray for him? And God said, don't you worry about it, because while I'm giving you this vision, I'm giving him a vision. And he sees a man named Ananias coming to lay hands on him to give him his sight, because I am going to show him what things he's going to suffer for my name. But he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before kings and rulers. And often the devil is, somehow he sees that this someone has a talent and a gift and that they're using it out there in the world. But if God ever gets a hold of it and sanctifies it, they're going to be mighty for God. And he works overtime to keep them from getting saved. So Paul, we know, let's drop down to the end. After this happened, Ananias did come. Let's look at verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul," I bet you he almost choked. "Brother Saul, Lord have mercy on us. The Lord," and now he clarifies, "the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Just like that, he received physical sight and spiritual sight. Amen. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And so now, going back to where we were in Timothy, Paul says, "I want you to know that this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy to be accepted by everyone. I want you to know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am chief sinner." So let's see, he said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, what we deduce from that is Jesus Christ came to save all sinners.
That's right.
If he can save the chief sinner,
yes.
He can save anybody.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
He can save respectful sinners,
yeah. Yeah.
And disreputable sinners. He can save high-class sinners and low-class sinners. He can save educated sinners and uneducated sinners. Amen? He can save the rich, the middle class, the poor, the destitute, the homeless.
Amen. What a revelation of God's unsurpassing grace. If he can save the chief of sinners, he can save anyone. Paul's conversion proved the worst sinners can make the best Christians and the best soul winners. He was the least likely to be saved, but he became the poster child for God's mercy. He hated Jesus. He forced Christians to blaspheme and put them to death because he was blinded by religious lies. Like him, there are sinners today who think they're good guys. They don't see their need for God. But don't give up on them. God can open their eyes just like he did Paul's, and like he did Kamal Salid's, a Muslim jihadist who met Jesus Christ through the love and goodness of Christians. If you missed his testimony or that of Pam Howard's, a crack addict who was a victim of incestuous sexual abuse as a child, you can order this entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the R.G. Hardy Radio Ministry. Ask for offer SK160. That's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 160. The mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you can order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. The offer number again for public sinner number 1 is SK160. Send your love gift of $10 or more to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, or order at rghardy.org. Even if you don't wish to order today, we would love to hear from you and to know whether or not the radio ministry is blessing you. Why not write us today or go online and let us know how you're blessed by the R.G. Hardy broadcast. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.